Welcome back to the Bryant Park Project from NPR News, online all the time at npr.org/Bryant Park. I am joined by a team of veritable all-stars to share with everyone the most viewed, the most shared, the most emailed, the most gossiped over, the most scuttlebutted, the most whispered, implied, inferred, referred to, ferreted out, and declaimed. It is the most. Mrs. Coleman?
Yes.
Would you like to most us first?
I will. Here's the number one thing that's been read at FoxTV.com. Victoria's Secret underwear could be damaging to your eyes. How do I know this? A woman is suing Victoria's Secret because her V-string, yes, that's V-string, damaged her eye. Apparently, there's a decorative piece of metal that somehow came loose and was flung into this poor woman's cornea, which it cut, and so now she's suing for compensatory damages. Poor Makrita Patterson, she needs a little help.
Yeah. I thought maybe she was putting it on wrong, but it's flinging metal.
Well, I don't know. I've seen the both of these, and if you look at the design, well, just go to Wikipedia, and you can see how there could be some question about how to get into one, a V-string as opposed to a, say, G-string, as opposed to a T-string.
That's why I never put barbed wire in my underwear.
Yes, it's true.
It's a bad idea.
Yeah.
I got to know which letter I'm using.
Also, if you're going through the metal detector at the airport, who wants to strip down to that level?
Yeah, you could hurt somebody in the eye.
Oh, ding! Man. Mark.
I have a most emailed from the Chicago Tribune. Basically, a major new study finds like a major tip-off to an aggressive driver is bumper stickers. And you would think it would be, you know, what they say, but it's actually interesting. It doesn't matter what the stickers say. So it can be, you know, my kid's an honor student, or my kid beat up your honor student, or keep Austin weird, or make Austin normal. It doesn't really matter what the message is. It's just the idea of if they're there or not. And they think the reason is because road rage is kind of about territory.
Yeah.
You know, this is my lane, my thing, you're in it, I will hurt you now, and they think a bumper sticker is a marker of someone saying, hey, this is my car, and so like that. So it can be it can be about puppy kisses, or it can be about
even that one
violence.
That says coexist with
I
the different religious
symbols. I
must be
a horrible person.
Yeah. Oh, I think the one that says my car will run into your car. That's like
no,
Corvo, what are your bumper stickers?
What are my bumper stickers? My kid plays ice hockey.
Oh, my God. Stay away from that lady.
That's the kind of person who will be driving down the highway, flinging her thong at everyone.
Ow, my eye.
Dan, would you like to go?
Sure. I got a most emailed here from Yahoo News. Watch out, guys. The moon is going to be huge tonight. Actually, it's not. It's just going to look really big. You can see a huge moon illusion tonight. It's a full moon, and we're approaching the summer solstice, and there's a thing called the moon illusion, which you may have noticed, which is that when the moon is especially low in the sky,
right,
it looks a lot bigger. It isn't bigger, obviously, but it looks a lot bigger. And
thank you for the clarification.
Yeah. You see, the moon doesn't change
celestial
size,
bodies
Mike.
Bodies don't shrink
it's
and expand.
It's not growing.
No, I see.
Right, exactly.
But, you know, as a kid, I used to think that it did, because I would see a bigger moon, and it's like, that's enormous. How did the moon get that big?
Well, it's an illusion, Matt.
Okay.
It's okay. Don't worry.
Perhaps your parents long ago should have disabused you of that ritualistic
20 years,
primitive
now you know
notion.
The truth.
Right? Yes. Yeah.
But tonight is the solstice moon, coming just 2 days before summer starts in the Northern Hemisphere, and basically because of lunar mechanics, the sun and full moon are like kids on a seesaw. When one is high, the other is low. So the especially high solstice sun results in an especially low and therefore apparently large moon.
And the solstice is coming up on Friday.
Also,
yes.
Also, Matt, I should note that seashells aren't whispering about you behind their back. I feel like we have to go back to
your
childhood.
So you cannot hear the ocean in a seashell?
Yeah, there may be a lot of the impressions that were misgotten in your childhood.
I smell a segment.
It's cheese.
Things Matt got wrong.
Things Matt didn't understand when he was a kid. Okay, so I have the most emailed story on USA Today. The headline, lack of vitamin D rampant in infants and teens. And
rampant, can a lack be rampant?
Well, okay, that is a little problematic, but I also thought, you know, people get to be a little inflammatory
headline.
In headlines. Rampant,
Yeah.
But it's actually, there are a couple of stories showing, a couple of studies showing that 40%, and another study shows 42% of infants, toddlers, and adolescents are vitamin D deficient.
Ooh.
So,
because,
you know, this is an age of fortified foods. You know, they've been adding vitamin D to cereals and things like that, but it's not helping, apparently. And, you know, vitamin D is activated by exposure to sunlight.
Right.
So you can eat a lot of it, but it's not naturally in a lot of foods. And
you got to go
outside. You can eat a lot of it, but if you don't spend 15 minutes in the sun, at least, you're going to get in, you know, vitamin D is not going to do you any good.
And is there a lot of stats in that article about how kids just aren't going out into the sun? People are scared of the sun?
Well, actually, they do talk about people using sunblock.
Yeah.
You know, so it's one of those things where, you know, you can't win for losing. So you have to put on sunblock to prevent skin cancer. But now they're saying if you put on sunblock, you're preventing vitamin D absorption. So now they're saying maybe spend 15 minutes in the sun before you put the sunblock on, except if you think you might have cancer. Then don't do it. Talk to your doctor
first. This just proves you can't do anything.
Yeah. And there's also an interesting thing about breast milk not being rich in vitamin D. So with more people breastfeeding their children, maybe a lot of infants now are not getting vitamin D. So I'm sure that's going to set a lot of people off. So
tomorrow,
there's a lot going on in that story.
Tomorrow, saliva causes stomach cancer.
And if you want, but you know, if you need your vitamin D, apparently it's in 340% of your recommended daily allowance of vitamin D. You can get it in cod liver oil. So have fun, folks.
Oh yeah, that'll be fun.
Good thing for me, I actually put that stuff in my coffee. So
it's good on the rocks, too. Inhaling and exhaling. I got a quick one from the Christian Science Monitor. The Now It Needed to Be Said file. Airlines are charging for the wrong bags. It's a commentary. It makes the very logical point that they should be charging, Mark Katz does, they should be charging for the carry-on luggage, which clogs everything up and people try to stuff stuff into the overhead compartments. They should charge for that privilege, and then it would ease things along, make them more money, and actually do what they wanted to do, which is also limit the amount of tonnage on flights. So, very logical argument, I think. Now it needed to be said. Matt, what else needs to be said?
Well, what else needs to be said is on the most email list at the old NPR computer machine is the headline, Neutering Nunu, a Dog Culture Clash in Iraq, and it's about the pet dog at the NPR Baghdad Bureau. And NPR producer Katie Dunn reported this story.
A few months after Nunu came to live with us in Baghdad, I asked Ghassan, an NPR translator, to call a veterinarian and make an appointment. We needed to have Nunu neutered. Ghassan didn't have any idea what I was talking about. I explained that in the States, when we own a dog, we think it's responsible to stop it from reproducing. We even call it fixing. In Iraq, Ghassan explained, it is just the opposite.
The idea of having a dog is to have puppies, and especially if that you may give one of the puppies to your close friends, your relatives. But right now, we're going backwards. Instead of having more puppies, we're trying to stop the coming puppies, which is a kind of nonsense.
Come here, baby. Here it is. Here's the ball.
Okay, it was Lourdes Garcia Navarro and I who decided we had to neuter Nunu. Garcia Navarro is a correspondent in Baghdad. Nunu kept getting lost, slipping out to gallivant around with the pack of stray females who roam the street outside our bureau. The snip, as she called it, seemed like the only solution.
Nunu, bye, Nunu.
On the day of Nunu's appointment, I tried to slip out the door quietly with him, but the staff caught me on the way out. Everyone is sad about Nunu, Ghassan said to me. He explained that for Iraqis, having a big family is a great achievement, a basic right of which we shouldn't deprive man or dog. Another translator, Isra, went so far as to say that Nunu would be scorned. Before this, she said, she always thought that the stray dogs outside envied Nunu for his posh indoor lifestyle.
But now, I mean, that he will stop being a male dog, I think no stray dog will ever think of envying him anymore.
I assumed the vet we visited would, like U.S. vets, be an advocate of population control. But this is the first thing veterinarian Leith Jacob Sabah said to me.
Yeah, it's a season of breeding. I prefer to find him a girlfriend. What do you think?
Sabah explained that veterinarians in Iraq are basically matchmakers. He proudly told us about hundreds of arranged dog marriages. He'd even brokered a few international unions. But I insisted, Sabah shrugged, and started shaving Nunu's fur. Ghassan and I stood by and whispered as we watched Sabah and his assistant do the surgery.
I think from now on he's going to be fat, because he will focus on eating only. It's the only desire that left for him.
When we brought Nunu home later that day, I admit he looked pathetic, all bandaged up. Isra and Nada, two translators, were horrified.
I think so. There is no other solution, just an operation. It's awful.
You should give him asylum in the United States because he doesn't fit here anymore.
Today, Nunu has pretty much recovered. We're glad we don't have to worry about little baby Nunus showing up on our doorstep. The staff seems to have moved on. But did we do the right thing? I asked Garcia Navarro what she thought.
I think it's one of the things that you grapple with here all the time, whether you're imposing your own system on an alien culture, on a different way of doing things.
Of course, no single one of us can say for sure whether or not it was a good decision, except for maybe one dog.
That's NPR producer Katie Dunn reporting from Baghdad. You can get links to this story and all the others on today's Most. Plus, you can see the Most in magical Technicolor at our website, npr.org/BryantPark.